The following podcast is not safe for work. Make sure your earbuds are in just in case anybody else is around who is not ready to hear some dirty, dirty stories. You ready? Let's go.
But I won't complain and I won't quit. I am enormous. Get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Hi there, and welcome to the Bawdy Storytelling Podcast. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie Delator, and this week on the podcast, we have a story from pansexual polyamorous storyteller Wizard O'Roz. Before we get to our story, I want to tell you about an opportunity to watch stories live. The Bawdy Storytelling live stream is going to be back on Saturday, August 1st, and this one is looking like it's coming together really well. The theme is packs a wallop. We have stories from Ms. Natasha Strange, from Jessica Cohen, who you heard on the podcast last week. Didn't you love the story from Succubus? And we're going to have musical guest Shirley Gnome. Love that Canadian bitch so much. Love her so much. It's not just that. There's more to come. And don't forget, we're doing the Butt Plug Club again because we had a problem with the post office last time. So if you want your custom Bawdy Storytelling Podcast butt plug with a butt plug cozy, with our brand new Bawdy sticker, with a button to flag that you've got a butt plug in your ass, and not just that, a panelist spot so we can see you on the live stream right along with all these infamous storytellers. So get it as soon as possible because that is going to end. We have to get them in the mail early. So your opportunity to receive your butt plug in the mail is going to end this Monday. I think that's July 27th. In addition, some of our live stream fans have come up with a new idea, and I'm very curious to see if it works. Every good exhibitionist needs a foyer, right? So there are the people who are the attendees. There are the exhibitionists who dress up in drag, dress as furries, dress as kinksters, dress as Muppets. We had pirates and circus themes going on this past live stream. But every exhibitionist needs a voyeur. We're now offering voyeur tickets. A voyeur ticket means that you can be there for the behind the scenes. You can chat with the other panelists. You get to look at the gallery. So if you're the sort of person who likes to look around and see who's also at the show, voyeur is the way to go. If you're shy, your camera can be off, but you can still be in on all the action. The live stream is going to be Saturday, August 1st. Tickets are now on sale. You can find them on the Bawdy Storytelling website. You can find it on social media, and you can find it in the show notes for this episode. But get your exhibitionist ticket as soon as possible because I want to mail you this butt plug. Thinking about my little cartoon face peeking out of your asshole, my favorite thing ever. How's your week going? I want to tell you about something exciting that I just found out, like right now, just found out. I've been in quarantine for 4 months. And, you know, it's like when it comes to the part where you talk about what's going on in your life, I used to have a really exciting life. I live in a major metropolitan city with tons of sex positive events. I have pervert friends galore. I used to see them out in the world. I felt like I had something to talk about. And for the last 4 months, I have not felt that way. I have felt like I made a bowl of cereal, y'all. Do you care? But this morning it occurred to me that somebody let me know recently that I had made a best sex podcast list. Like, congratulations, you made, which one did they tell me? They told me that I made Esquire magazine. For the third year in a row, I made their best sex podcast list. 3 years. Esquire. Like, That's a big deal. I was really surprised. So I decided to Google best sex podcast. And I don't know why. I have a Google alert on my name, but it does not come up for some reason. I had the same problem last year where it didn't come up, but I've been a bit distracted by everything that is happening in the world, and I hadn't done that this year. So I just Googled it, and I found out that Body Storytelling made the best sex podcast list for Refinery 29, She Knows, Tickle Life, Sexpert.com, Esquire for the third year, Up Rocks for the second year in a row, and this year, we were named a best sex podcast by Oprah Magazine. I haven't even finished Googling yet, y'all. I stopped when I hit Oprah Magazine because it's Oprah Magazine. Oh my fucking God. I'm so excited. I'm not sure that it makes any difference in the world. Does that make a difference? But it feels like, you know, podcasting is cranking it out week after week. And sometimes you can be particularly uninspired. And something that will inspire you is finding out that you were called the best by Oprah Magazine. Holy fucking shit. Here's something that is even more exciting, that is even more life-changing, because, I mean, let's be real, it's a magazine. I mean, it's an important, it's a huge, it's like a top five magazine. But let's talk about lives. I want to tell you about how Body changed a life this past week. So we did a live stream on Saturday night, and one of our storytellers was a disability activist and sex and disability educator. Kaz Killjoy told their first story on Body Storytelling on the live stream, and they were moved. You could see it in the panel. You could see it in the exhibitionist. You could read it in the chat. They loved this story. I often tend to collapse after a live stream for a little while. It takes me a while to get back to my messages. But when I did, I found this message from Ariel in South Carolina. Dixie, I just sent an email to Kaz Killjoy and also a Venmo because they definitely deserve it. But I wanted to send an extra thank you to you for bringing their story to Body. I have been living with unexplained pain for 20 years. I just looked up the symptoms of their malady, Ehlers-Danlos, and that is literally the only thing the rheumatologist did not test me for before diagnosing me with the catch-all, "We don't know what you have" disease, 20 years ago. My pain came to a head last year when I dislocated a hip while being fisted in a gay nudist camp at my club's run. That's a sentence you say all the time, right? Oh, God, fisted at a gay nudist camp. I thought I was the only one that could injure myself like that while getting fisted. Kaz got injured, just so you know. I have been in near constant pain for 9 months. Well, thanks to Body, I'm calling my doctor on Monday to request that they refer me to a geneticist and a rheumatologist for a reevaluation. So thank you. Your show may literally be saving me from a buttload of pain. So when I coach people on telling their stories, I instruct them to give us the exact names of what we're diagnosed with, the exact name of the fetish we described. We want stories to be a roadmap for other people, to have them have that aha moment, to make them go, wait, that's the thing? I like that thing. There's a name for that thing. Or in this case, wait, what's the name of what you were diagnosed with? And the symptoms sound exactly the same as mine. Kaz's story on the live stream may be changing Ariel's life, may be resulting in a diagnosis after 20 years of pain. That is stories changing lives. I say it all the time, but a story told by somebody out in the world, you might happen to come across some vague detail that someone might casually mention, and it changes everything for you. We have this happen at Body on the regular, but I'm so proud that this week, I don't think we've ever had anybody diagnose a 20-year health problem as we did this week. It makes me so proud that the stories that we put out in the world, the stories that we're told we're not supposed to talk about, please don't talk about sex, that's so distasteful. There are people like that. One of them is my mother. But when we do it, when we are uncensored, when we're real with each other, when we tell our real stories without deciding whether it's okay for polite company. Maybe you shouldn't talk about your fisting incident in church. Maybe not. But here, there's a place to talk about these things with each other and to learn from each other. And yes, okay, I'm getting on a soapbox. I will stop now. I'm very excited about all the best of for sex podcasts I just got. I'm even more excited about the fact that a story from a first-time storyteller could have changed a number of lives. I did check in with Kaz Killjoy after the show. They were contacted by a number of people who were watching the live stream to ask more questions, to learn about what they do, and to ask more about their diagnosis. That is putting people in touch. That's putting you in contact with someone who is the right person, the right place at the right time. That's what we're doing right now. You know, in the midst of everything that's happening in the world, the pandemic and everything else, it feels good. Those tiny victories that you have. And that one, these, a number of them, these number of things that I've just discovered. I don't know. It's a reason to persevere. It's a reason to keep going on when you're just like, does this matter? Right now, it feels like it matters. And that feels fucking good. Ready for a story? Well, let's talk about this week's storyteller. Wizard O'Roz is a pansexual polyamorous lady figuring shit out with her exemplary friends, lovers, and her two fantastic greyhounds. Might be more than two by now because Wizard O'Roz loves dogs the way I do. Wizard has been part of the team in Seattle that helps pull body together every single month, always behind the scenes, willing to do anything, and loves stories the way that I do. This is Wizard's first time on the podcast after many, many times being on stage in Seattle. This storyteller is Wizard O'Roz.
So I'm sitting on this park bench and things are getting pretty hot and heavy, but I pull back because I know that park benches aren't the most legal place to have sex, and also there's this like family with children about 10 feet behind us. And I look at my makeout buddy and I say, well, I don't want to be late for my biopsy, so... So I am considered high risk for breast cancer. I inherited a mutation from my mom, who is currently fighting a losing battle to ovarian cancer. And the way that I deal with that emotional miasma is being very proactive about my health and about preventative screening and all that. And I'm 25 now, which is the age when they recommend you start getting routine breast cancer screening. And so I went in for my very first breast MRI this year. And I didn't really think much of it. I kind of thought of it as an adventure, really, because it's preventative, right? So, like, they don't actually find anything on those. And so I went into my very first MRI, and it was like, it was a kind of a freaky thing. Like, I'm sure a lot of you have had them. You're like stuck in this tube and it's really loud, but you're like terrified to move and terrified to breathe too hard. And then you're just kind of sitting there and trying to breathe until they take you out, right? And they say, good job. They took me out and I was so relieved, and I kind of cheekily like waved bye at the radiologist who was in some booth at the back, but had definitely just had the best view of my breasts of any man ever. And, you know, I was a little concerned, but I kind of put it in the back of my mind until I got a call a few mornings later, and they told me that they wanted me to come back the next day because they'd found something that they didn't quite like on the MRI. And so at lunchtime, I called up my boyfriend, Ben, and I said, hey, I'm pretty freaked out about this. Like, they want me to come back, and you know, it's probably nothing. Like, they get false positives all the time. But would you come with me? And he didn't even hesitate. He said, yeah, of course. And so the next day I arrived for my MRI and, or my, sorry, ultrasound. I got there early and I got there before Ben did, but he was waiting for me when I got out. And I was a little freaked out again because they'd said that they wanted me to come back that afternoon for a biopsy. And I was not expecting that at all, right? Like, that's like a pretty big escalation of things. And so I was pretty shaken up. And I ran up to Ben, who was talking to this cute little old lady in the waiting room. And I was like, you gotta help me. Like, I need to schedule this appointment and I just want to get out of here. And so he helped me and we left. And I could tell he really wanted to like treat me. So we went to a bakery and like got these pastries. And then this is up on Beacon Hill. We went to this big park on top of Beacon Hill and found this like zip line that's meant for children, but I'm just small enough for it. And so he was like pushing me on it, and you know, I was really trying to enjoy myself, but also kind of in a mood. And I said, well, we still have like several hours. Is there a park I really want to visit? And it's Seahurst Park in Burien. I'd never been there before. And he said, okay, let's go. So we were in the car, and it's kind of a drive from Seattle. And I was dealing with all these emotions, right? Like, this was kind of like a little mini apocalypse for me. And what do you feel in an apocalypse? You feel scared, you feel excited, and for me, I feel horny. And I have this thing with Ben, like we at this point we'd only been dating for like 4 or 5 months, and we just have this amazing chemistry. And he also just has this beautiful penis. And I don't say that about very many people at all, but he just has a really nice dick, and like I always want it. And so, you know, we were driving and I was like reaching over and like just kind of like messing around and like seeing what I could do. And he was like, you know, we could pull over right now. And I said, no, I really like, I want to go to this park. And, you know, we got there in the parking lot, and we kind of lingered in the car, and, you know, he kind of brought it up again. I said, no, let's go check this park out. And it was this gorgeous fall day, and there was fall foliage, like, in the trees and then on the ground. And as we were walking to the beach through this, like, foresty area, I realized that among all the leaves on the ground were just hundreds of slugs. Banana slugs, just every square yard there was a slug. And I was just looking down at these slugs and thinking about how, like, futile life is and how, like, it's all meaningless, right, until we give it meaning, which itself is meaningless. And I felt something squish under my boot. And, of course, it was a banana slug, but I just let out this, like, guttural scream. It's just so gross. And then I just broke down into laughter. I was just thinking about like how awful and ridiculous this day was. And we, you know, made our way to the beach, and he was kind of holding me, and I was just like opening up to him. And I felt like I should really just be enjoying this moment, because like you don't know what's gonna come next, right? And so we went out to brunch, and it felt very much like a Last Supper sort of moment. And we found some more park benches to make out on until eventually I said, okay, like I guess we have to go, and I have to go get this biopsy done. And so I did. And it really, like, I'm pretty scared of needles, but it really wasn't that bad of a procedure. Like, it didn't even hurt at all. What sucked was the aftermath, right? So I had to wait the rest of the week, and I was just waiting to hear back from them. And also, my boob really hurt, and it had this big old bruise on it, and I was just, like, grumpy at work. Like, I was probably just hard to deal with. I didn't want to be around anyone. I didn't, like, want to talk to anyone. Like, I didn't know what the results were gonna be, because you never know until they come. And then Friday rolled around and I still hadn't heard back. And I was pretty upset about this, because like I just knew that my whole weekend would be ruined, because I would just be sitting there in suspense. And you know, I just spent the weekend, I somehow managed to kind of forget about it. And I spent the weekend like taking care of myself and just hanging out, and like I made a bed that I got in the mail. And Sunday night comes, and I'm sitting there in bed, and I'm texting Ben, who has just gotten out of a really exciting like second date. And he's telling me about it, and we're polyamorous, if you didn't know. He was like really worked up, because they'd gotten to the point where they were like pushed against a car and like making out, but he hadn't gotten to resolve it. And so I said, oh, you poor thing, like, you know, you're in my part of town, you could just come over. And he said, oh, really? Yeah, come over. Like, I've been alone all week, like, get your ass over here. I said, you can let yourself in. I didn't get out of bed, and soon, very soon, he appeared at my bedside, and he was basically frothing at the mouth. I don't even know how he managed to drive. And I said, so Ben, tell me about your date. And I took his clothes off and pulled them on top of me. And you guys probably want a description of Ben, right? He's like 6 feet tall. He looks like if Bill Hader and Hugh Jackman from Love Actually had like a 20-something-year-old baby. And he has hazel eyes and this gorgeous, very bright smile. And I pulled him on top of me. And another digression, for me, like being a top, I don't always do it, but when I do, it can be very therapeutic. Like the first time Ben and I ever had sex, I tied him up, I tied him to my bed, and I wouldn't let him move, and I teased him for like hours until he was just a puddle. And that was really great for me because I was working through this like incident where I'd had sex with this guy for the first time, and he didn't want to stop having sex after I was done, and he kept like pushing it on me, and that was a really shitty thing, right? Don't do that, guys. You probably know that, but this guy didn't. But yeah, so that helped me with that. And then Ben also likes to play this character that I call Father Ben, and he's like a sexy priest. And usually, when he's with other partners, he's the top, but when I play with Father Ben, I get to dom him. And that felt really good after learning about all the Seattle Archdiocese stuff that happened this year. But, I pull Ben on top of me, and I kind of just dom him from the bottom because I don't want to jostle my boobs. And, like, sometimes you just want to be loved, you know? Like, even if you don't want to move your boobs at all. And we just had this, like, really passionate, intense sex and ended up falling asleep next to each other. And so I got the call the next day, Monday, and, you know, I kind of held my breath, and they told me that it was negative. It was just benign tissue. And, you know, of course I played it cool, and I said, oh, yeah, I figured. Yeah, right. But the thing is that, like, now I know I have 6 months until my checkup, and, you know, I'm just gonna keep having great sex with amazing people, and, you know, what better way to celebrate being alive? Yeah.
To a winner. I don't know.
That was The Fear by Lily Allen. This week, Body hit 500 patrons on Patreon. Maybe it's because we offer great rewards like free live stream tickets, free live stream replays. You can only get the replay on Patreon. Ad-free podcast episodes, our new interview series with sex-positive luminaries and kinksters. There's a whole bunch more. But yeah, we finally found this way to give back to our patrons. And if you'd like to get those goodies and more, I'm thinking up new things all the time. And if you've got an idea, I'm dying to hear it because I love new ideas. Please go to patreon.com/body. Give it whatever level you can. You get great rewards there. And you're keeping us afloat during a global pandemic. Live shows are gone. All we have is the content we're putting online. And the tech on those things costs a lot of money. You're helping keep this thing going by supporting us on Patreon. So go to patreon.com/body and thanks in advance for your support. You know, Oprah may have a global billion-dollar industry, but does she have a perfume out that guarantees to get you laid? Does she? No, but I do. And I want to make sure you know about it because we have a lot of new listeners. Have you heard of Body Got Me Laid perfume? It is made by Sucre Bay for us, and it smells great. Do you know how I know it smells great? Because I'm the one who came up with the scent. Yes, I did that. I'm so proud of myself. I wanted a perfume that told a story, and I knew that one of the primary elements of the perfume would need to be honey, because I saw the performance artist Karen Finley writhe around in honey at a show many, many years ago. And the whole smell as she gyrated and got hot and sweaty, the smell in the auditorium, thousands of people, the smell in that room. My friends and I looked at each other and went, is that her pussy? Is that what that is? The next morning, I got up and I went, I want to do some science because y'all know I like me some science. I warmed up some honey, smelled it, and went, yes, honey does kind of smell a little bit like vagina. So Body Got Me Laid has golden honey, amber, ylang-ylang, which is the hardest thing to say in the world. And I just said, I'm going to say it again, ylang-ylang, and warm vanilla. It smells good. It's the kind of thing that when you put it up in your business, people lean in to sniff. It smells sexy. We also have body butter. Yeah, that's right. We spelled it that way too. We have hair and body oil. We have a lot of other things on our website. You can find it under merchandise on the Body Storytelling website, and I'll include a link in the show notes too. If you want to smell like me, if you want to get laid, check out Body Got Me Laid perfume and body products. It's time to say thank you. Thank you to the people who make this award-winning podcast possible. Yeah, okay, I'm going to play with that one for a little while because it makes me feel good, y'all. Thank you to award-winning podcast producer and live stream technical director. I think he's going to win something for live streams as soon as they invent a way to make awards for live streams. He's going to win it. Thank you to Marty Garcia. Thank you to video archivist Joe Moore, who's been working hard to get the Body live stream replays up on our Patreon for people. Thank you to sound engineer David Grossoff. Thank you to you. I mean, it's very hard to promote your podcast when your podcast is about sex. It's nigh on impossible. You telling your friends about this podcast, you writing us a review wherever you write reviews. I'd love it if you'd write a review and then send me the review so I know who wrote those things. Anything you can do to help boost the signal for this podcast means that we can grow, we can continue, and you can have this to listen to every single week. You can make it happen. Thank you so much for listening. This has been episode 133 of the Body Storytelling Podcast. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, and we'll be back next week with more stories.